Okay, well, let's do the call to order and the pledge allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands from our nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, anyone got any last minute adjustments to the agenda? Mark, have some.
I have a question, please.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Story County Commission meeting, July 16th, 2013, Tuesday. This is item number three, discussion before the approval of today's agenda. Mr. Chairman, I got a question in regards to item number nine. It's not clear and it's a little misleading about the Jeep Posse. Okay, I looked it up. Jeep Posse is listed as Story County Jeep Posse. And we have a James Traybird is a registered agent. I see this agenda item was requested by a Melissa A. Field, and she doesn't have any authority to speak for Story County Jeep Posse. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I can answer that if you wish.
Okay, dokie.
Melissa Fields has plenty of authority to speak. She's a full-time employee of the Story County Sheriff's Office. This is on there as a first reading, and I botched the part of the first reading, so it's we checked with legal counsel. Counsel says since it's only a first reading and no action for a liquor license, it's to be treated that way.
All right. Any other changes? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, move for approval of the agenda for July 16th, 2013.
I'll second motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All righty. Consent agenda. Any changes on that? Anyone? Nothing? Okay. Look for a motion.
Mr. Chairman, move for approval of the claims.
I'll second the motion.
Claims or consent agenda?
Consent.
Excuse me. Yeah.
Consent agenda.
Consent agenda.
Yeah.
Pardon me.
Okay. That one trip to Tonopah wore you out.
I'll be above.
Oh, yeah. Did we get a second?
Yes, second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. All right, we're down to staff. Sherry, you get to come up first because you made the most money for us this month.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Sherry Nevin for the record. Just to let you know, we began the second round of door-to-door visits for the income survey for the Virginia City Gold Hill area last night. In about a 2.5 hour period, we visited 32 homes. Of those 32, we gathered 15 responses. So we had some folks that were not home, or we had some folks that didn't want to fill it out right then and there, but we'll mail it in. So we thought that was pretty good, you know, numbers for one evening of about 2.5 hours. So we will go out again tomorrow night in an attempt to collect. We have 15, we need to get to 42. We're hoping to go above the 42. And then at that time, we can consider that we have all of our responses. They'll tabulate the results, and hopefully it comes in showing that we are within that income threshold to be able to apply for these federal loans and grants. Story County will also be hosting the Nevada Emergency Managers Conference at Piper's Opera House September 17th and 18th. We expect about 40 people to attend. This conference is held each year. They move it around the state, so we're fortunate to be able to hold that this year and bring a few folks into the community and show them what we have here. So, the pool project is nearing completion, the ADA-compliant restroom. We're just waiting for some final billings and ordering the ADA lift, and we have until December 31st to completely close out that grant, so we've got a little leeway here. I've been staying very busy on top of a lot of other grants, so keeping going, and if anyone has any questions for me, that's the information I have today. Thank you.
Thank you. Mike?
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Mike Nevin, for the record. It's hard to follow Sherry's act, and I'm going to attempt to do so. Just a couple of informational things for you. You notice on the back side here, looking out the courtroom windows, the orange safety net fencing there. We've removed the chain link. Monday, the fencing contractor will be here to install the new wood fence on the back side there. We cleaned up the area between the asphalt and that fence, and it looks pretty decent. Got a lot of compliments from the neighbors across the street, so we're moving forward. Of course, that was a grant that Historic Preservation provided the funding for the fencing, and then we'll be able to use some of our match on that as in-kind, so we're moving forward with that. Another couple of informational items, the part-time maintenance position for the Louise Ferry Park is out being advertised. That closes next Tuesday, a week from today, so myself and Austin will be looking at the applications that we received, and we hope to have somebody on board out there by the first part of the month, so making progress there. At this time, while I'm on the Louise Ferry Park, I know I've thanked them before, but John and Mary Lee Miller have just been outstanding as far as volunteering their time out there helping us provide a service to that community. And you guys are to be commended greatly. Thank you much. We've filled our part-time shop mechanic position with Steve Fade is back working a couple of days a week for us, Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and thus far he's been a big hit, especially with the fire department. They've had some recent activity and equipment out on numerous events, not only in Story County, but some of the surrounding counties. We'll try to get that back online as quickly as we can. So it's good to have him back a couple of days a week. He's been a great help. Sherry also informs me, and we'll be looking into this a little bit deeper, but we have an opportunity to receive an additional $35,000 allocation from the Nevada Historic Preservation Grant Program. We will have to provide some match dollars for this, but I have a line item in this current fiscal year budget, and hopefully we can utilize that. So, you know, for $35,000, we put in, you know, less than half of that. We can address this back wall, and portion of that will be through the upstairs electrical wiring project that we initiated a couple years ago. So just to let you know what we're doing along those lines. And once we firm that up, I'll probably be getting together with Pat and Hugh to see where we stand as far as the dollars are concerned. So we had that little flash flood event, of course, the first part of June, and we spent 3 weeks in the industrial area cleaning up a portion of Portovino and Milan, and then a week down in the canyon. So we've been fairly busy during July. So some projects that we had anticipating started, we, you know, sometimes emergencies take precedent, but that's the way it is. Today, we repainted the parallel parking hash marks on Main Street, and have a crew down there currently painting the curbs and loading zones and that sort of thing, so it's looking pretty good, I think. Other than that, I think that takes care of about everything that I was going to share with you today, unless you have any questions of me. Thank you.
Do you have an email from Gary?
Yeah.
Once you hit that, thank you.
Pat's going to give us a report from Fire Chief.
I have a staff report for the Fire Chief. He's trying to get caught up from all the fire activity. His report is we've had several pieces of apparatus out at different fires within the region. The most notable is the Bison Fire down in Douglas County, in which we had three dozer support apparatus, one Type 3 engine, and one water tender. They were there for a total of 11 days. All apparatus are back in service in the district at this time. Public Works Maintenance has made amazing progress in keeping all of our rolling stock online. At one point, we had seven apparatus out of service, of which all are back in service now, with the exception of one Type 6 engine and one water tender. The Type 6 engine is at Capital Ford awaiting parts, which are back ordered and have been there for over 6 weeks. The water tender should be done late this week. The tender required a complete transmission replacement, which our crew did in-house. They pulled a surplus military transmission out and placed it in the water tender, saving thousands of dollars on parts and other costs. We've had a dozer transport have a catastrophic engine failure. This is going to require an engine replacement. Fortunately, we believe that one of the federal excess trucks has the same engine and we'll be able to get it installed in the broken down transport. The County Wildland Fire Program will be receiving a new slash used water tender next week that will be placed in service in the Highlands. This unit is a six-wheel drive and has 4,000-gallon water capacity. It'll serve the needs of the Highlands extremely well. Tri-center inquiries, tenant improvements, and interest has really been picking up. We are actively working with Dean's office on numerous requests for information in regards to fire protection plan reviews and permits. The seasonal staff has been actively conducting 30-foot residential courtesy surveys in the Highlands, Mark Twain, and Painted Rock. The crew from Station 75 at Tri is actively removing fuels along Canal Road in the Painted Rock area as well. And lastly, the Volunteer Fire Department will be doing a Fill the Boot fundraiser on July 21st and 22nd for the Granite Mountain Hotshot Fallen Firefighters families. In addition to the fundraiser, the volunteers are preparing for a massive recruitment drive. The chief's been working very closely with them on this, and there will be more to come over the next 2 to 3 months. That's his report.
Great. Jim, have anything? Danny?
Good afternoon, commissioners, everybody. A lot of you may have heard some of these. I reported some of this at the BCTC meeting. Just to recap on the 4th of July, we actually paid for the fireworks, so my hat's off to the community, the sponsors, everybody that donated and put their time in. We raised enough there to actually put a little bit in the kitty for next year. And with that, what we found interesting was a lot of people know we have a webcam here in town. It's a live shot of C Street. Typically, we get about 350 to 400 folks a day watching live on the street. On 4th of July, we had 1,161 people that logged in either during the parade or for the fireworks. So it's pretty neat to see that many people from all over the world looking at what we're doing here in Virginia City. This weekend, Americana Music Festival, we're locked and loaded. Again, we have 17 bands playing in 5 locations, of which our headliners will be playing in the Delta lot on Friday and Saturday. Last week, I walked with the folks with Liquid Blue and peeked their head into every merchant in town to make sure they were aware of what we were doing. When they see that chain link and those fences going up in the late afternoon on Friday and Saturday, not to worry. We're trying to bring a lot of people to town, and hopefully they'll keep their business open to benefit from that. Hot August Nights, August 8th, we'll do a poker run again this year. We'll have them come through in the mid-morning to late afternoon, hopefully, on that one day. We did what we called a camel walk. It's basically a map of town that's animated where they can go through each business in town if they like, and bring us 4 receipts back to the visitor center, and we'll draw a winner for a VIP pass at the camel races. So entices them to stay here a little bit and to do a little bit of shopping. With that, camel races, I want to say thank you to Nicole. Nicole with the lead, we were contacted by the Discovery Museum, Patrick there, and we're going to meet with them. We got some great ideas. They have a huge database, a lot of influential folks. We're going to actually do a camel hump day on the Wednesday before the camel races with some live camels. I just talked with the promoter and the owner of the camels, so we're going to take them down there a couple of days before the event. We'll coordinate PR and media there as well, and that should be a great start to that week of the camel races. And then finally, we've been charged, our visitor center, with putting together a Story County / Virginia City float for the Nevada Day Parade. I'll put it on record that we'll have the best float in the parade. So. Yeah, that's all I got.
Danny, just a quick thought to share with you that everybody knows. My daughter is over in Germany, and her husband's with the IT department over there in Heidelberg at the large base, and she gets homesick. They've been over there a little over a year now. So 24 hours a day, she can tune in to our webcam on C Street and watch Virginia City, and it kind of satisfies some of that homesickness. So it's worldwide.
Yeah, it's working pretty well for us.
Jenna.
Thank you. My name is Jenna Hawks, Story County resident. I just want to ask, since Danny Dawson is in charge of the community service department, I was looking around my park, Mark Twain, and I was wondering why there's no maintenance at all. The park itself, the court, is growing all grasses. And the water has not, the pipe of the water, you have no hope that people can use the water at all. I got the pictures. I'll be sending to y'all on that basis. Thank you.
You?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have released the request for proposal for the new water treatment plant. These requests for proposals went out to about a half a dozen banks around the area. Of the total project cost that we believe, which would be about $5.3 million, we are asking for $3,002,000 in interim financing, of which USDA will take up as part of the grant. We are requesting that these bids be in by August 31st. So after August 1st, we will probably select the bidder at that point in time. We were hoping to go through and start construction in November. However, I think Sherry has updated me this morning. It says it may not be January, not any of our doings, but it's a BLM thing, as we all know, that takes a little bit of a time to get that approval. So we're on track with that at least. By August 31st, we should have the bids for the interim financing of this project, and hopefully with the grace of God and BLM, we can move forward before the end of the year.
Okay, sounds good. Austin.
Thank you, Chairman, Commissioners. Just a couple things, just to let the Commission know that I'll be updating the county administrative policies. Our call policies show today that they have to be updated every 5 years, and we're at that period. So we're looking at a comprehensive update to things that deal with hiring and personnel management and use of buildings and Fair Labor Standards Act compliance and other federal and state regulations and those sorts of things. So I've asked all of our staff to provide any comments that they see in their everyday lives of little suggestions and things that may be integrated into those policies. So that's just a note on that. Secondly, the July 18th Planning Commission meeting is going to be postponed. There are still some map amendments to be made with the map that we're going to deal with, which is a large parcel map. It's actually a merger and re-subdivision, and so we're going to look at August 15th as a target date to get that completed, and I'm working with a surveyor pretty much on a every other day basis, and Diane has also been working with him on making little minor amendments to his maps. And then I'm hoping on August 15th that we'll be able to bring forth at the Planning Commission the owner of the Vista Tower out in the Highlands. I'm getting a lot of inquiries from people that live in the Highlands asking when the monopine tower is going up. And I've talked with the applicant about potentials for having some kind of a reclamation bonding in case 20 years from now the tower becomes obsolete and is no longer used. And the applicant has been totally open and willing to multiple different types of bonding. He's just asking that we do something that maybe he would put money up front and not have to do it where he pays an insurance premium type of a thing, which would be bad for us. So I'm working with the applicant on that, and then the Planning Commission then would just see an amendment to that special use permit to adjust that bonding and not require that a carrier is on the tower before it's constructed. And those are the things I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Dean?
Thank you, Commissioner. Dean Haymore, Story County Community Development Director. As Gary said in his report, we're very busy out in the industrial park. We got GSI's four-floor pick modular approved this week, last week, and that's fully operational. It's going to be a great, I've asked them to let me do a tour with the county commissioners because they've also applied for a tax abatement on that project. We also Friday night got an addition 800 amps and 600 amps to that building because we moved 1-800 Flowers over there with our big coolers and the flowers. We got them up and open now. We're still doing racking and some TI improvements. We should have them completely in their offices and bathrooms by this Friday. We also are starting the racking for 1-800 Flowers, the racking for, Mike help me, I call it the pill company, Schwab. The racking has started today. It all started showing up yesterday. I facilitated a USA Parkway with NDOT. I'll let Pat report on that. But we're going to a host NDOT directors, and hopefully we can get the governor there for a tri-tour on August 27th at 8 a.m. We're going to invite county commissioners, and this is going to be a full tri-tour, not on the road, but the companies out there. Pat has asked me to facilitate to get them into two or three companies to give tours there, have the companies come and have lunch at the end of the tour with us. So I want you to put that down for August 27th, and it will start at 8 a.m., and we will meet at 420 USA Parkway. I permitted today to start moving the topsoil from Comstock mines for sales 6 and 7 that the Planning Commission approved. They have met their requirements with NDEPA for the moving of this topsoil to prepare sales 6 and 7. I will finish today and issue permits to Nature Conservancy. They are doing a $6 million to $8 million river restoration between Mars and the Tracy Power Plant. They're going to redig the Truckee River and meander it back in there, so you're going to see that starting. Besides that, that's all I have at this time. If you have any others, we have bids going out on 750,000 square foot buildings, 1.3 million square foot buildings. We're under construction, and rebar is being laid today for a 525,000 square foot building. We've had requests for four new 700,000 square foot buildings. Request of fees and everything out went out there. So we are looking close to 2 to 4 million square foot of new buildings that are being looked at out in our industrial park. And thankfully and luckily, we have the area for these big buildings. The 1.3 to 1.7 million square foot building has to be over a mile long. And so they want one building a mile long. We have met with, and Lance, I think within the last 2 weeks, seven new companies out there. I meet tomorrow with the can plant company and all their engineers and their contractor, United Construction. They're hoping to close escrow on the Royal Extrusion Building first 2 weeks of August. Prologis at Blackstone are looking to close escrow on buying all the Prologis buildings on August 6th.
I spoke with the president today of the can company from New York and their attorneys, and we've resolved those issues we talked about this morning.
Right.
And so there will be a closing and on time. Wonderful company. They're planning to expand. The building itself, Dean, is what, 400,000 feet?
Just under 400,000. They told me, and I'm sure I'm going to get filled in tomorrow, and they've been working with Pat. EDON has been working with Pat. About a $10 million retrofit to the existing building, and about a $62 million worth of new equipment coming in from Europe.
And they suggested they're going to build out the balance of the property within the next 24 months.
And as I recall, in the ballpark is 70 to 75 new jobs. So
yeah, and
this building's been vacant for 6 years,
7 years.
Huh? 140?
Currently, there's a job fair for Zulily's out there. Tire Rack's looking for more employees. GSI's looking for more employees. It's really going gangbusters out there, and we're so blessed in Story County with our team and lucky to be able to do this and work with a great team like EDON. It's right there to answer all of our questions, take care of the customers and things like that. Probably don't get together long enough with EDON to figure out what's going on their side and what's going on our side, but we're working together. Thank you.
Another thing I think is important to share with everybody is that there are gold LEED buildings out there, there are silver LEED buildings out there, there are platinum LEED buildings out there. We have more LEED certification buildings in industrial base than anywhere else in Northern Nevada. Fabulous, fabulous statement.
That's a good record.
Thank you.
It's a gold LEED or a silver LEED or platinum qualification based on environmental excellence, environmental sensitivity, and
for solid LEED. One of the things that you guys want to tell me about, we have all the salt out there for the Tumabok project.
Oh, really?
We have about story for
holy mackerel, that's a lot of.
Square foot of
I couldn't.
Over the journey.
Wow, that's amazing. Sheriff, what you got?
Just two items very quickly. One, touch on what the county manager's already touched on, item number 9 on the agenda. Went out of my office without me catching it. It was an error. The way it was stated, it is just first reading of their liquor license, nothing more, nothing less. Other thing, contrary to misinformation that's been going around in the community, National Night Out is on track. We've been meeting with the folks from WeCare for several months planning it. It's going to come together our third year and best year yet. A lot of good folks helping out on that. The Millers, Terry Cruxton, Denise Vicarini from down in Mark Twain. It's going to be a great event on August 6th, both in Miners Park and in Louise Perry Park. So I want to let everybody know, and hopefully everybody comes out to join us for a nice night out to make a statement against criminal conduct in our county and share in some good times with your neighbors.
Thank you. Sean, you got anything?
Just a quick thank you for making the library opening so special. It was a great day. And also thanks to Bill Maddox. He got all the library books over to the office. That is now open. There's 5 terminals for public access. We're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, so anyone can access that now. We had a great event Sunday in the park. About 50 to 75 people came out for that community event. Just a public park picnic. And the farmers market is going on Thursdays, 3:30 to 6:30, run by the students, young people actually, in the before and after school program. It's been going great guns, and that's in the park also. So thanks for all your support.
Thank you, sir. Buzzle? Bill?
I think some of you probably already seen, but Don Pullman's back. She's going to work a couple of days a week in my office part-time. She's retired, but she can work up to $24,500, and that saves us having to provide benefits to her, so it's a real savings to the county, and it's a help for Deborah, who needs a little bit of a break every now and then, so we now have one and two fish person in the support staff area. Some of the law clerks that have been, the externs that have been up here, Scott Walker just started Monday. He went full-time with the public defender's office. He clerked for Judge Russell for a year, and now he's got a full-time job, so he's going to have to do the same thing all the rest of us do. Little Renee Hamasi is up in Washington getting ready to take the bar around the end of the month. And then I just got a word from Tim Treffinger this morning. He's got a commitment for 8 weeks work down in Las Vegas. He's moved down to Henderson because that's where the law office was. And he just this morning got offered a job, which he's accepted with the Attorney General's office in Peru. So 8 weeks from now, he's going to be over in Peru. He'll be a domestic violence attorney for Nye County, Esmeralda County, Mineral County, and I think Lincoln. There's three or four counties that all he'll be doing is domestic violence stuff. So those employers told me that they figured anybody that could survive 4.5 months in Story County would probably be a pretty good person to get on. So we're getting all these kids that are working up here for nothing and getting jobs as a result of it. So
that's funny.
That's all I have.
Yes, sir. I have a few things in last. Just want to expand on a couple things that have been said. Sean's coming on the library. I hope everybody caught that. Monday through Friday from 8 to 5. By my count, that's 45 hours worth of open time available to the public. Our prior library was open 19 hours. So that's a huge change on, I believe, about a fifth of the budget, as I recall. So great job.
And just a question, that's the law library. The children's and young adult library is open Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 4 to 6. It's volunteer staff, and that's upstairs in the community. So we're trying to get the online portion and the young library portion open for adults in that same space. Hopefully, we're still trying to work out the work. That'll happen soon. I'll let you know.
USA Parkway Dean mentioned, and I did not bring my NDOT handout, so I'll work this off the top of my head. Their project manager came and briefed several of us on the progress, and in some cases, the slow progress of the completion of USA Parkway, both in the remainder of Story County and throughout Lyon County, to touchdown in Highway 50. Probably the biggest watershed event that I think that will be coming up later this year will be the public meetings that they need to have as part of their NEPA process, which they're wrapping up, that will display both their preferred route, once they've identified it, and their alternative routes. I believe there were five total, as I recall. And they're working with folks down in Lyon County and Silver City in particular, or Silver Springs, excuse me, regarding, you know, where the proper alignment is for that. The NEPA has been fully funded, and they anticipate that'll be wrapped up in the early part of next year. Where it begins to bog down just a little bit is next is design. And design has been authorized funding from the feds, but there are some concerns that without any federal commitments or any other commitments for the actual construction, that the design might continue to be delayed in favor of other, I would say, more political projects, particularly down in southern Nevada. But we're working hard, and the meeting that Dean mentioned is probably a major part of the process. We hope to have Governor Sandoval there as well to really begin to focus on the criticality of getting USA Parkway done. Lance mentioned a great indicator that they have when they put priority placement on, I forget the word, what's the
feature benefit or cost benefit
analysis. Cost benefit ratio.
Cost benefit analysis.
Thank you. And they assign that after they look at a whole array of factors, but a one-to-one ratio means for every dollar we're putting in, we'll get a dollar of benefit on this project. And this project is well over $50 million, probably closer to 60 with all the design and environmental. But a one-to-one is worthy of looking at. A three-to-one is a hot project. This is a 9.1 to one. So it tells you there
probably isn't a more important road project anywhere around right now. And I'll be looking at Mike and others to continue to help us, help make that happen, not just for Tri and Story County, but for everybody in the region. Speaking of Mike, in a few minutes, Mr. Kazmierski, excuse me, sir, he's going to get up here in a little bit and tell you how good they are in professional terms. I'm going to tell you, though, the best I've ever seen before he even gets up and speaks. I've been doing economic development with Commissioner Gilman and Dean and everybody for many years with many different organizations, and inclusive of EDON. And when Mike came in to take over the helm, this is a whole new world. Between that, what Governor Sandoval's office has done with economic development, the results out there are staggering. We've never been better positioned for hopefully the next boom that is beginning to look like it's coming. So I want to thank you for taking time to come up. To clarify something our comptroller said, we are going out to bid on RFPs, but these are finance bids only. These are not really on the sewer plant themselves. And they're required by USDA, and you're going to hear an awful lot of technical stuff over the next 6, 9, 12, 18 months, because USDA has obviously a very prescribed program that you have to follow. And one of those steps is we have to go out to commercial banks, ask them, you know, what kind of interest rate they would give us on $3.2 million and what kind of terms. Keep in mind, as best I can recall, USDA has offered us 2.5% spread over 40 years. I doubt we're going to find Bank of America or Zions or anybody else anywhere near that competitive. So it's a procedural step. But one of many that Hugh and Sherry and Mike and everybody else will be going through. And compliance, I guess, not only with that grant, but with all grants, I want to sing praise on something that Mike said, but sing it about his daughter, because he can't do that. I held my breath when Ron James left SHPO. Ron loved Virginia City. He treasured it. It's a whole new deal down at the Historic Preservation Office now. But these last chance monies that we're getting are just absolutely gifts from heaven. They are monies typically that other organizations are either granted and couldn't spend, didn't get their act together, or in some cases, you know, they just couldn't, however. But, you know, we've gotten these often from Ron before, and the fact that Sherry has taken grant compliance and grant processing to a new level. I remember when I took over this job in 2005, there were some concerns about we'd take the money, but we wouldn't always necessarily follow every rule that went with the money. And the auditors love us. We're about ready to go through a whole another annual audit for all of our grants. And, you know, I'm comfortable that we'll pass with flying colors. I want to recognize Sherry for everything she does, because that is paying great rewards. Mm-hmm. And that's my report.
Okay. I had one little quick thing. I got and I think everyone got the same email from James. He's going to do the website migration 2 weeks from today. So expect in 2 weeks then, if and this is for the general public, you try to go into the county website. It's probably going to have some glitches in it while we migrate the website over, so just kind of have to bear with it. I think probably a week or 10 days should be up and running again. But
yeah, our anticipated problem time will be from the end of July through about the 9th of August. They're trying to debug everything up front, but you may not get your alerts. You need to check with the clerk's page on your agendas and packets and everything, and if you don't get those are the problems we're anticipating, but hopefully we won't.
So a follow-up from my desk on Sheriff Antonoro's presentation on National Night Out. For those of you that don't know, it's a wonderful program in Story County, and well worth all of our efforts in attending. It's held in two parks on the same night. There's one park up here, Miners, that will have all the booths and presentation. And then there's another one down in Lockwood, so they happen at the same time. And it's an opportunity for the community to come out and look at services and community outreach and a lot of things that are going on in our community, law enforcement-wise, services-wise, and other things. I want to share with you that Mustang Cares, Mustang Chefs, are going to be serving prime rib sandwiches and chicken sandwiches and furnishing all the beverages for the park. And we'll do both parks at the same time. And so I'm going to suggest everybody come. It's going to be a great dinner. And then, of course, this year we're going to have some county booths down there with some of the services that are provided here from Story County. So we're looking forward to a wonderful program this year, and we hope that everybody will come out and join us. And, of course, Mark Twain, come up the hill and join us at Minor Park, and we hope the Highlands will certainly come out and be a part as well. And we'd like to see this to be the largest program. The sheriff has started his third year, and it's a great benefit for our community.
Yeah. Great deal. Okay. Item number seven, that update from Edon. Mike, thank you for waiting so patiently. How are you?
What do I do here? Hang on, here comes our guru.
Good things happen here automatically. And then the dancing. It's the magic device. Oh, there it's coming. We don't want to make it too dark in here. We won't have anyone awake in about 5 minutes. First of all, Chair and Commissioners, I want to thank you for the opportunity to just give you a quick update on what Edon's up to. I haven't been up here before in a formal capacity, but work closely with the team. Certainly, Commissioner Gilman, Pat, Dean, and a whole lot of other wonderful and important team members in Story County that allow us to do economic development in this region. As Edon, Economic Development Authority of Western Nevada, is one of the nine designated regional development authorities by the state. The state has designated Edon as one of these regional development authorities. In our region, we've worked out with NNDA, Rob Hooper and his gang, that we will focus on the metro area and the I-80 corridor, and he will work on and support the more rural areas around that. And so Story County is kind of split a little bit. Obviously, we're focused more on the I-80 corridor and all the things that are happening in the industrial park, and that's what we'll be talking about from our perspective. What I'll do is kind of let you know what Edon does beyond just bringing jobs to the community, and then certainly open it up to questions you may have. The key in our mission statement is the word jobs. If it doesn't have jobs associated with it, we really don't put much energy into it, because that is an overwhelming objective for this region and for our community, and here's why. If you look at the national numbers, we still have, in this region, 20,000 unemployed that are looking desperately still after many, many years for jobs. That's unacceptable, and that's what we wake up every day and focus on, is the job creation piece. We're going to move Nevada to the other end of this chart sooner rather than later. Our focus is really even more focused on what we call primary jobs, or jobs that are where the customer is outside the region generally. So a Walmart or a restaurant is still a job, and it's an important job, but if you don't have the primary jobs first, the Toys R Us or the Microsofts or the other kinds of companies that bring all this wealth into the region, these secondary jobs struggle or go away. So we focus on the primary jobs, and in fact, in the region, of the 15 or so thousand businesses in this region, only 4% are considered primary, and allows us to really focus in on the primary jobs, because that's what drives our economy and all the advantages associated with them listed up there. When we talk about primary jobs, we do three things. Pretty simple. We bring them to town or try to help them come to town. Once they get here, we do whatever we can to keep them here. That's the retention, and we try to get them to grow on the expansion side, and then entrepreneurial startup, which is an important part of the economic development equation, oftentimes missed, helping startups grow. And how do they grow here so that the next Google, perchance, if that idea were to come out of UNR, there's no reason we can't help that company grow here. Why do they have to go somewhere else to grow? Our initiatives, specifically on marketing, we've done a lot of things here, and I won't go into it other than to say that California Consultant Contract has been very successful, and I know the Tahoe Regional Industrial Center, we are focused on, in a trip we have in September, to help especially some companies in Southern California understand what a huge asset that is to our region. It is just an incredible resource. And we have someone, Don Floor, who is very excited and has many companies that he thinks will be interested in that. So that specific trip will have, in my guess, probably a half dozen or more really solid leads that come out of it. And we, on the attraction side, get out of town as much as possible. We knock on doors, we work with site selectors, and we try to get people more interested in this region. Our success over the past, if we look back a year, and you can hardly see it, although you have handouts, commissioners, the two rose-colored Zulily and what's that, Lambertson, were last year announcements we had in Story County. If we look at this year, and that last list of jobs was 16 companies we brought in last year. This year, we closed out at the end of June. You can see the different kinds of jobs and the companies, and this good news is we've gone to two pages because now we have the second page, twice as many companies, and the two rose-colored were companies we worked to help bring to the region, and oftentimes we're not the only ones involved in this, obviously. It's a huge team effort, but we were able to help get those two in. One to be announced, we expect to have in the next 30 days a fairly significant announcement. We talked about the can company, but that's a pretty exciting deal where the governor was personally involved. And in fact, when they came to visit, they told us they're probably going to California, but they're looking at us as an option. And we ended up flipping them in part because of a lot of work done by a lot of things, Commissioner Gilman and others, Dean and Pat and the whole team up here bent over backwards to help them understand why this was the right place for their business. And the governor personally got involved in that as well. And then the light or the darker ones, there are expansions that we work to help. We carried incentive packages to the state and help them grow here because it's important for the companies that are here already to continue to grow, to continue to expand.
Six of those are ours.
Those six are all six. The two rows and the dark color are all Story County. So of the 33 companies, that's a pretty good chunk of the activity in the region, and as you know, economic development is a regional effort, and the more we can help this region grow, everyone in the region benefits.
Yeah, Schuylkill's ours, Mike.
Schuylkill, Miss Schuylkill there? Let's see.
Schuylkill.
Okay, Schuylkill's yours too. One, two, three, four, five. Okay, we didn't highlight it. Schuylkill's the sixth one. So yes. And we look at relocation in the expansion side, nearly 100 on the attraction side over 2 years. 600, that's a big number for Story County. And then you look at the five-year economic impact, $400 million because of these companies coming and deciding to grow in this region. It really drives a lot of what we, you know, from an economic impact, this region. What does it look like for our regional numbers? Our five-year average before 2 years ago was about 800 to 900 primary jobs that were added to the region. Last year, 1,600. This year, 2,100, and our goal was 2,000. So we're excited to exceed the goal, and we're shooting for, and oh, by the way, when we set that goal, we were told it was one of the higher goals we've seen, and we're thrilled to exceed it. So it's pretty exciting to see that. But here's why we've exceeded the goal. Pretty simply, if we can get companies to visit this region, and that's why we're in California a lot. That's why we're on the road a lot. I'll be in New York next month, and Stan's traveling. We've got two prospects in this week. A lot of things are happening. If we can get people to visit, they realize what a great place this is to do business. And, oh, by the way, to enjoy the quality of life. And we've taken the visit numbers 2 years ago from four a month essentially one a week, up to 10 a month, which is about killing our staff, by the way. But when we get those visits, our closure rate on that number is nearly 80%. So if we can get them a visit and then make a decision, 80% of the time, they decide to come to this region. So that's an incredible metric, and it tells us two things. One, we're a great place to do business and great quality of life. But two, when they come here, they don't expect much. And we surprise them, and we end up winning the deal. So that's really good news. Retention is pretty darn important as well, and I would say the companies we have now are the ones we really need to keep because they're the economy that drives us. And so Nancy McCormick, and I know she's been out visiting most of the companies in Trick and other places, mostly that's our area, been out there many times and helping companies understand, connect, resolve problems. That's the retention program. Keep them here, help them grow. We've also announced the Think Local initiative, helping companies connect with other companies. Oftentimes, and it's amazing, Nancy will come back and tell me a story about a company she sat down with, and they said, we're having trouble finding someone that does this, you know, this laser cutting. And she said, well, you know, the guy on the other side of the parking lot does that. And sometimes it's that close, literally, and she helps companies do business with each other, which just helps the economy overall. But there are other things under Think Local besides working, but contracting and eating, supporting, serving, things to help our local economy as a region. And then entrepreneurial, the third leg of economic development, the one that oftentimes people don't understand, but really from a long-term job creation perspective, the most important. And this is where research comes in, this is where UNR comes in. Putting energy into the entrepreneurial piece is something we've really started doing pretty aggressively over the last 18 months. And if you look at that right side, of those 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 major entrepreneurial kinds of activities, a year ago, 7 of them didn't exist. So we're bringing in entrepreneurial events and activities that will help our region be more entrepreneurial. And finally, product improvement. We really do want people to understand what these companies are finding when they get here, that this is a great place for business. So we're doing things to try and talk about the business side. Yes, we're known as a visitor destination, and yes, it's a great place to live, but oftentimes we're not perceived as a great place for business. So we're trying to do more to promote that. We're trying to improve the downtown image and help companies, especially entrepreneurs, understand this is a great place to come and live and work and play. In that diversified business marketing campaign, you'll see some signage like this that really gets out the message, this is a great place to expand your business while you enjoy your life. The staff at EDON, fairly small, those two kind of mustard baby poop colored 4 or 5 block area on the right side, those are brand new to EDON. I mean, a year ago they didn't exist, and those two programs, retention and entrepreneurial development, are up and running, and we're really doing great things on the attraction side. We're doing a lot more there than what we've done in the past. From a funding perspective, and thanks to Story County for supporting in as much as possible what we're doing at EDON. It is a nonprofit. We do get some state funding. The state funding 2 years ago was 52% of our budget. It has shrunk to 35%. Not surprising, some of that money has migrated to the south. That said, our private investment funding has increased. So we're maintaining the budget and keeping the program up and running. And again, thanks to our support, private investment, and local government support. Our return on investment, we like to talk about. For every dollar EDON spends, we are associated with, we won't take credit for it, but we are associated with and assisting about $300 in economic impact into our economy here in the region. So I wish my 401k looked like that. Finally, we do it with a lot of partners. It's a team sport. Economic development is really important. We're all in this thing together. Jobs drive the economy. Jobs allow our kids and grandkids to stay here. It's what we focus on, and it takes a big team to do that. Questions from the commissioners?
Quick comment, if I will, Mike. I'd like to share a current story. I participated this morning in a conference call with the president of the can company, CEO, and we resolved a couple of problems that are coming forward. And unfortunately, we can't share more on the name or the company because they haven't closed escrow yet. but he assured me that they were going to be closing in the first week of August. The point that I'm sharing is that he shared a little story with me. And he said they stumbled on Reno by accident. They came through our community, and they ran into three people, you, Gene Haymore, and Stan Thomas. And those three people completely changed their program and what they were planning to do, and you folks captured them here in Northern Nevada. Literally, they weren't planning to stop here or do any business. And he credited you all graciously and aggressively on what was done here for them and for their company. They're delighted to be coming here, and I know we'll be able to share, you know, we call it the Can Company, and that's unfortunate because this is a international, incredible, the investment is in the tens and tens of millions of dollars. And they're going to be a factor, and it's because of you three folks that they're here.
Well, I can tell you, and everyone knows how you believe you need to get the deal done. When you had to step up and help this deal work, you were there. Mm-hmm. And so thank you. It's back to that team effort. We can get them interested, but if the team doesn't rally, it doesn't happen. And this is an exciting company, $50 million in equipment, robotics, state-of-the-art. We're talking about advanced manufacturing that moves manufacturing to the next level right here in Storey County. So it's pretty exciting. Any questions?
Thank you, Mike. Always good to see you.
Well, my pleasure. I'd like to come by maybe once a year or more often if you ask for it, and just let you know that we're your economic development agency. We're here to support you and appreciate all you do to help this economy grow.
That goes both ways.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Mike. Okay, item number 8 is appoint one member to the Nevada Land Management Task Force.
Mr. Chairman, as my staff report indicates, this past legislative session passed Assembly Bill 227, which establishes the Nevada Land Management Task Force. And what that task force has to do over the next 2 years during the interim session is conduct a study addressing the potential transfers of public lands from the federal government to the state. One thing I want to stress on this, this has nothing to do with the Storey County Lands Bill that Congressman Amade has fostered. This is a statewide effort principally driven by other counties that have much larger percentages of federal land holdings than we do. We'll see where this group goes over the ensuing time, but I imagine there will be some respective differences. Some counties would like all of the federal land reverted to the state. I harbor my own concerns with that because there's a mill site down in American Flats that might be more than we can bite off at this point in time. So, but if that's what it takes to save it, then maybe that's what it takes. But I would again, to comply with this, each of the 17 counties has to apply or has to appoint a member. This one had their initial kickoff meeting earlier this month, Bill?
Early this month,
and Chairman Shebangan did go down. This is kind of a tandem group that works with the state land use planning as well, and Austin's on that. What staff is recommending with his concurrence is that Chairman Shebangan does get appointed. For the record, Juanita Cox was also kind enough to raise her hand and express an interest in being appointed, but we've only got one, and this is one that is typically constituted by either county commissioners or the supervisor from Carson City. So staff's recommendation is to appoint Chairman Shebangan to the state, whatever that is, the Nevada Land Management Task Force.
Discussion?
You give them the form of a motion to for this?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Discussion? Janet.
Thank you. Will you be giving since the appointment of these lands, will you be giving us a feedback of what is the status of for periodically? Thank you.
I'm anticipating that we will do the same thing SLUPAC has done and to establish a website so that we can put our findings up there. Okay.
Okay. So at this time, Mr. Chairman, being that the chairman of this board would like to sit on this board, I move that Chairman Shovagan be appointed to the Nevada Land Management Task Force.
There's a second.
In favor?
Aye.
Well, thank you.
Go to work. We need some more to do.
One more meeting. There you go.
I get to travel a little bit out of this one, so. Okay, item number nine, no action. Chief Posse is requesting for a non-prof status, business license, liquor license. This is first reading, correct?
Correct.
So no action required on it. Item 10, approval of resolution 13378, setting of salaries.
Chairman, I'll take that one just when I really thought we were on top of this. When we renewed the AFSCME contract,
yes,
we had a minor but cost-saving change from the old contract to the new one, and that is employees, let me get this right, this impacts the employees that are capped in non-PERS years. And in that case, prior interpretation of the contract had provided them a COLA. We negotiated that through that process to eliminate that portion. So the only thing that has changed, no grades have changed, no titles have changed, nothing has changed. It is only the language in where in the third whereas at the bottom of page one that is consistent now with the newly approved wording in the AFSCME contract.
Basically just a cleanup. Any comments?
Mr. Chairman, move for approval of
you got a comment.
You have a comment on that?
Yeah, my question to you guys is, how did we get into the position we're in now on these collective bargaining agreements where we pay for the dependents over at the school? The schools have been union for probably 100 years longer than the county has. And those people over there, it's my understanding that they pay their own dependents coverage, the worker does. And how did we get stuck in the hole we're in now where we pay for everybody? Thank you.
Any other comments?
And I won't comment on that one since that's not the item that's agenda at this point.
The motion?
Move for approval of resolution 13-378, setting of salaries, updated COLA verbiage and reflect the new CBA terms.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, item 11, resolution honoring Diane Stewart.
Mr. Chairman, if we could ask Diane and her husband and Austin to come forward, would you mind reading the resolution if I hand it to you, sir? Diane is leaving on to retirement, and we certainly would like to honor that as we do with all of our long-term employees. Especially ones that have made such significant contributions as Diane has.
The greener pastures ceremony? Greener pastures?
Okay, resolution number 13-380, resolution honoring Diane Stewart. Whereas Diane Stewart has diligently served Story County for 22 years from 1991 to 2013, and whereas Diane Stewart has been dedicated, devoted, and committed to her job, this county, and its residents, and whereas Diane Stewart has served with distinction, earning the respect of her peers both locally and statewide, and whereas Diane Stewart's gracious giving of her time, compassion, and professional knowledge has benefited our workforce, county, and community for more than two decades. Therefore, be it known to all present that the Board of County Commissioners of Story County do hereby resolve to commend and honor Diane Stewart for exemplary service to the people of Story County, Nevada, the 16th day of July, 2013. This is passed and adopted this day by the Board of County Commissioners. So, is that Austin?
I'd just like to say, in providing this for Diane, I've had a chance to work with her for almost 5 years, and she's had a chance to work with a lot of people in this room, including Dave Haymar and our past assessor, for 22 years, and has been an amazing servant to the people of this county in many different capacities, and a huge servant to me and what we do in our office. And a lot of times, Diane is my right-hand person. A lot of times, she keeps me in line and keeps me where I need to be. Diane, you're truly going to be missed. When you announced to me that you were retiring, was a difficult day. And I'm going to miss you. There's going to be huge shoes to fill for the next person. I don't think that person will ever completely fill them, but just know that. And once again, you can see Diane. She'll be having a Galway barbecue on the 25th this month in a little rose garden over here at 11 o'clock, and anybody is certainly encouraged to come to that. So it is my pleasure to provide you this. And it just says Diane Stewart, Story County Administrative Assistant. Congratulations for a happy retirement, 1991 to 2013. Story County thanks you for your dedication and appreciates the difference you have made in our community, signed by our commissioners and our county manager.
Well, kiddo, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Good luck, thank you.
Mr. Marshall.
Thank you, ma'am.
That's it.
Yeah. Diane looked down.
Since I have all the wonderful years I've had the opportunity of living with
her, yeah,
and all the things that she did for Story County, I've been told that she's been honored all the service that she's dedicated her family to give her story and the rest of that stuff. Work for she has and provided. So I sure appreciate Diane.
Sure.
I'm going to miss her.
Thanks, Diane. Thanks, everyone. There is no discussion, just a motion, huh?
My motion to approve the resolution.
Yeah, yep. I'd be honored to make a motion to approve the resolution 13-380 honoring Diane Stewart.
I'd be honored to second that motion.
All right. I'd be honored to call a vote on that.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Item number 12. First reading, Ordinance 13-251. Rules for decorum. Normally, we wouldn't have any discussion because this is first reading, but if anyone has any comments they'd like to make on it, stick your hand up in the air.
I do.
Anyone?
I do.
Huh?
I do. Okay.
You go first.
One of the suggestions that I like that's been forwarded to me is a recommendation that these are obviously from our DA, who has seen them in place in other areas where they work quite well. We've been plagued recently with some, what I will in a friendly way refer to as sidebar conversations that go on between members of the audience. While matters are being deliberated, somebody's testifying, the commissioners are speaking back and forth. And that's been brought to my attention enough times that I will, in writing, be asking the DA to go ahead and strongly discourage that as well, because it is distractful to those of you that are out in the audience. And I think, to a lesser degree of importance, it may signal a disrespect for those that are either at the podium or not. So
I'll be including that.
Okay.
Do you, if you have comments, in essence, take it outside.
Yeah. All right. Nicole, come on up.
Nicole Bart, Story County resident. I have forwarded this in writing to the commissioners, and I'll just read it into the record. Gentlemen, while I don't understand the necessity for or what has prompted this ordinance, I believe less is better in most things government, I have to point out a few issues with it as written. I think it's important to spell out what is and is not appropriate behavior during public meetings. It's your meeting. Clearly, you can own the agenda, you own the timing, you own the pace. You clearly, this is your purview, and you're accountable for getting things done, so you have to figure out a way that is most effective to do that. However, as written, this ordinance doesn't contain what I would consider to be an equal bargain in describing what the expected behaviors are and what the consequences are for violating them for the commissioners. As written, it's ambiguous and leaves it wide open as to what is considered objectionable behavior by a commissioner. It essentially leaves each individual commissioner to use their own standard as to what is objectionable because it's a differing standard and it's not spelled out. It's written purely from the viewpoint of the board, and if you're going to define the quorum, I would suggest that you do it for all players and hold everyone accountable, including yourselves. I view this, if what it is about controlling the meeting to make sure that all the work, all the important work that you've got get done, if that's what you're attempting to do with this, and that may not be it, I don't know, but effective meetings discipline, effective meetings restraint, effective meetings techniques, ground rules, much like what you brought up, Pat, that says, hey, there are no sidebar conversations, things like that, that's just one thing. If you were to look at running effective meetings in a possibly different way, that may solve your problem. But I don't know what problem you're trying to solve in reading that ordinance as written. It's ambiguous, it's one-sided. There are consequences for the public. If there's a violation, you get ejected. What are the consequences for a commission? That's all I have.
Thank you. Who else out there had a comment? Mark, do you have a comment on it? Go ahead.
Dale's next. Dale had his hand up, too, behind Mark.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Mark Joseph Phillips, Story County resident. First reading, Ordinance 13251, in regards to County Commissioner meetings. For the record, I would like any such ordinance to acknowledge Chapter 241, which is meetings of state and local governments. I think the ordinance should be written to acknowledge the statute and also acknowledge that the open meeting law manual. I mean, the two documents that are already in place and already enforceable. Thank you.
Mark. Dale.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Dale Beach, Mark Twain. I see your new ordinance is just trying to put controls on we the people. Bill can sit here and say, it was great, we got rid of Dale Beach by changing this. and then we're going to cut down on public speaking because it's only 15 minutes to a half an hour, and now we're going to do better on that. So you people are just trying to control me and the other people that you don't agree with. And I think that's wrong. I can't clap out here and stand up when Mark does something that I think is great, but today, we have people come in that's worked here for 22 years, and everybody stands up and claps. So you've got two different rules, one for y'all and one for us. And I think it's wrong. We don't need any more controls on us. If I want to stand up and clap when Mark does say something, rather than come up and you're trying to stop me and come up and say, I agree with everything Mark said, and I do. I've been coming to these meetings less than they have, and I don't stay very long for health reasons. But everything Mark's ever said in these meetings, I agree with. And everything you people say, maybe 10%. But I'll get back to that in another issue. So, you know, have somebody write that up and we're all equal. If I don't get the clap, then these people that worked with that lady for 22 years shouldn't get the clap. You know, you've only can have one set of rules that apply to everybody.
Do I see it? Oh, Janet, come on up.
Thank you, Janet House. I concur with what Nicole was saying, and I'd like to find out when will be the draft or second reading will be on this ordinance. Will there be any changes on that basis? Thank you.
I'll defer to Mr. Maddox on that.
You know, first of all, I'd like to say that these really are rules that should have applied all along. It's just that they haven't been in writing. Nicole's comments, and I, you know where I can probably take care of what you're trying to put in here is, you've all seen bills passed by the legislature where they have a legislative intent. And I could put a section in there that basically says that the respect needs to be reciprocal, that people will be treated with respect when they speak, and they should treat who they're speaking to with respect. And then, as far as clapping goes, when I first brought this up, I don't know if any of you recall, I don't know how many of you are at the meeting we had, it's probably been over a year now, where the first special use permit was up for approval by the Planning Commission. And that first meeting, I don't have to be at the Planning Commission's meetings. I'm not required by statute to be there. And I was just about ready to get up and leave and say that if this is how meetings are going to be conducted here, I'm not coming to any more of them. Because people were hissing in the audience. And when you say, well, why can't we clap? Maybe I should put something in there that says that when you have a celebratory matter before the commission, people can clap. But I agree with Pat earlier today, and I think it's Mr. and Mrs. Miller that we were clapping for. If he can't clap for Mark, we can't clap in that situation. So we're going to have to, and my personal opinion is, and it's just my personal opinion, is it's kind of juvenile to do that. I say that because I can tell you right now, if you started doing that when I was a judge, it's disruptive. And if you can clap, that means you can hiss. Because if you can show approval, that means you can show disapproval. And I don't think we want to start that. So they're just the flip side of the same coin. And I know, at least for a period of time, the county manager disagreed with me and thought we should allow clapping. But hissing or booing or whatever is just the reverse of clapping and showing approval. So I think if we want to run these meetings in an orderly and professional manner, we need to go up, I guess is how I would describe it. Bum Hess at one point, when I first was proposing these and circulating these, and where I got these is I looked around to see if there were any other rules similar to these around the state, and I couldn't find any. So then I got on the internet, and some parts of these are from meetings in New Hampshire and Texas and other areas of the country where they have passed rules of decorum. And this isn't to stifle dissent, but to, and as an example, in one of the open meeting law complaints, somebody complained about the 3 minutes. My response to that is that if, when we have a lot of, and this would be at the discretion of the chair, obviously, if we only have one or two speakers, we probably shouldn't clamp down on the 3 minutes. But in those mind meetings, they were lasting from 6 to midnight. We did that twice. And sadly, there were people that came here to speak that eventually got up and left because they all have jobs they got to go to. They come to this meeting, and people are getting up and talking 15, 20 minutes. And so by letting one person speak 15 or 20 minutes when there's lots of people speaking, there's another person that doesn't get to speak at all because the meeting ends up going so long. So a lot of this, if you look at the rule, it benefits everybody. I'm not trying to stifle Dale Beach or Janet Houts or Mark Phillips. I'm trying to make sure that everybody gets a chance to talk and that these meetings don't go so long or they're so unruly that people don't even want to attend them. And I can tell you, after that first mind meeting, my state of mind was, is if the next meeting is like this, I'm not coming to any more of the Planning Commission meetings. And I'm sure that, you know, if we all act like adults, treat each other with respect, and I can put a, it's not a preamble, it's a, the intent of this is to ensure that the most people who want to participate in public meetings can. They're not going to feel like they're in a family dispute, and people will enjoy attending these meetings because they're going to be run in an orderly fashion, and we're not going to be acting like a bunch of juveniles. So, you know, maybe Story County doesn't need decorum. I don't know. But this is my best shot at trying to introduce it. And I can add a preamble or a section that says the intent of this board in passing these, and I can say that it's the intent of the board to show respect to the speakers, and in return we would hope that they'd show respect to the board and other people who've attended the meeting. So I don't know. Does anybody have any questions of me at all? You got to come up here. Come up here.
Jack McGuffey, former Justice of the Peace, Story County. I just had a quick question. Can't you just add that as an agenda item, a celebratory paragraph, and then you know what the rules are as far as clapping?
We can do that too. We can add that in there. But I certainly welcome. I know I've gotten comments, I think, from Judy and Nicole. And you all know my email address because you use it all the time. I know that. So if you have some comments, send them to me, and I'll change this. And on the second reading, we can go into further discussion. I know Vanessa has already said that she doesn't want to be the only one that runs the light. So that's going to change from the clerk of the board to the clerk of the board or a designee. And right now it's me. But same thing with the sheriff. I don't know if the sheriff always wants to be the sergeant of arms. But this is the time between the first and the second reading where you add stuff, and I add it into the ordinance, and then we consider it at the second reading. So.
Sheriff, you have a comment?
Yeah, you want to go ahead? I don't care, Sheriff, you're not available. Either. Chief, we're actually helping you a lot.
Just a quick comment and a thought. In 6-7 years of attending these meetings now, I've not truly seen anybody get terribly out of line on either side. It doesn't matter. I mean, depending on who's on this side of the table and who's on this side of the banister, there's little clashes here and there, but nothing that has majorly caused any disruption. I think I've pretty well stated my case over the course of time that I'm not a big fan of bureaucracy. So the creation of a new thing, and if we're generally embracing Robert's Rules of Order, that we've got a decorum for running the meetings. That's just my personal thoughts. Now, the question I have, and this would be for Mr. Maddox, is last meeting we did the first reading of Ordinance 13249, which is general provisions for the penalties of violation of code. So I guess my question is now if we pass this ordinance and somebody claps or does some other unacceptable practice, do we have a misdemeanor offense right there? Because that is something that would have to be clarified on both sides, because I'm going to have to bring a whole bunch of handcuffs, haul everybody on both sides out.
Yeah, we'll only have to put Dale in jail a couple of times before he gets the rules down straight. In response to that, in this ordinance, it sets out the statutes that govern misconduct of meetings. Did you have a question, Dale? Come on.
I sure did.
This ordinance would be a fine place to lock up public comments. The agenda that's out now says it can be in the front, it can be in the back. And I don't want to get in a position to where when I don't show up at the starting time, somebody says, oh, we'll have a public comment at the front meeting. Okay. I'd like it locked up to where the agenda that she puts out says approximately when public comments will be here. Because I'm not the only guy with limited disabilities. And the state's still answering on that. But I got degenerative disc disease and it's getting progressively worse as we speak. And I'm not going to get any better, you know, until I die. And so I want locked up somehow to where I got an idea of when I can speak. And everybody should have the same option and knowing when it is. Because everybody don't want to come up and listen to all the bullshit. I mean, excuse me, BS. Yes, and that was your initials too. That's a problem.
Sure, Bob, I can take him away.
All right.
Let me... did you have something you wanted to add to that? I think, Dale, from what I understand at least, we're going to, if someone requests ahead of time that they have a disability, there isn't any reason that if they have something they want to comment about, we can't take them out of order. Generally speaking, though, the public comment, and this is a decision that's been made by the chair, and at least in discussions, it's been supported by the other two commissioners, is that the public comment at the end of the meeting better serves the public, the general public comment, than having it at the first of the meeting. As an example, in response to an open meeting law complaint that Ms. Houts filed, if things come up during the meeting that spark somebody's mind, then they can come up and comment on it at the end of the meeting instead of having to do it at the first of the meeting. So, there's arguments for and against having comments at the front of the general public comments at the front of the meeting versus the end of the meeting. But I think probably we can accommodate people who aren't able to come up here or wait in the audience for hours. And I suppose that's something the commission would have to discuss, but I think we can probably do that if someone's not capable of sitting out here on these hard chairs for a couple hours. So the other thing I wanted to point out is when you say there isn't any need for these rules, the opinion in regards to Mark Phillips' objection clearly said that, if you'll recall correctly, Bill during the meeting said these are the rules. And he said that's deficient. The rules have to be set out somewhere that people, before they come to the meeting, know what the rules are. So this is my effort to respond to assertions in that, I can't remember the open meeting law number of the Attorney General's opinion, but he specifically said, just announcing the rules at the start of the meeting. The other alternative we've had is the plan now is to change the agenda to specifically refer people to the ordinance in terms of how they have to act at these meetings, which I think would comply with what the Attorney General said was, we hadn't given enough notice to the public in general that certain things would or wouldn't be appropriate. So the Attorney General basically is the one that says, you have to have it in writing. And if we adopt the ordinance and then refer to the ordinance in our agenda meetings, we wouldn't have to attach these rules to every agenda, which would add 2 pages and kill about 500 more trees. So that's another reason why I thought to do these and go ahead and have them put in ordinance. Any more questions?
I have just one comment. I'd like to try to answer Janet's question as I understood it. I think you asked, when are we going to have a second reading, simply. And we've kind of made a decision that based on input that we've gotten from Nicole, from others that I've inserted on the record today, we could do this for consideration of adoption as early as the next meeting. We're required to publish 2 weeks early, but we're going to extend that. The first anticipated date that we'll publish for would be the second meeting in August, whatever date that is. So that would be the first time any further action would be other than the continued consideration and exchange of input like you've given, okay?
And the second reading doesn't necessarily have to be the meeting at which it's passed. So if in the meantime we get a lot of input, we want to bring it back to the commission, then we can have another time where we...
We would just rather have that sooner than later, because if it looks like it's going to get out pushed further, then no offense, Angela, but we don't have to pay to publish for something that's not going to get considered at that stage. We can do it later. So, yeah.
And maybe we can authorize more funding for handcuffs for the sheriff.
All right. Well,
I said maybe we can authorize more funding for handcuffs for the sheriff.
Okay, with that, motion to approve first reading.
I don't think there was any action on it. Okay. Move for approval. First reading of ordinance 13-251.
I'll second motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, community planning update and business licenses and.
Thank you, Chairman, Commissioners. Community Development is recommending continuation of the following, A, C, D, and E. A would be AB Custom Woodworking. C would be Nevada Distribution Services. D would be Schwab North America. And then E would be Battleborn Munitions. And then to continue or to approve B and E.
Am I seeing a pair?
Yeah, we have a slight error, maybe just for clarification.
Okay.
We're approving kettle corn, Austin, or no?
Kettle corn is being approved, okay. And uprising paragliding is being approved.
Okay, so maybe instead what we can do, could you just name the names, because our agenda has two E's. So.
Okay, not a problem. So I will start with a continued again. We are recommending that you continue AB Custom Woodworking, Nevada Distribution Services, Schwab North America, and Battleborn Munitions. I think so.
Motion.
Wait 1 second, Mr. Chairman. Okay. Okay, move to continue. A, C, D, and what would be F? Is that correct?
That would be correct if it was right. How about we just specify Battleborn Munitions?
Okay, Battleborn Munitions. Munitions. And to approve items B and E.
And approve would be Uprising, Paragliding, and Virginia City Kettle Corn Depot.
I'll second your motion.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Could I, before we move on one thing, just on item 9, that should be placed somewhere else on the agenda next time, shouldn't it?
Yeah. Because that would have been in the first readings. Yeah.
So that should be on the consent agenda next time?
Second readings, if we didn't move. Yeah, we put the second readings usually on open. Normally they're consent for first. And this doesn't necessarily go on the next one, right? It could take another
time for the backgrounds and...
All righty.
Mr. Chairman, I need to ask a question on that particular reading, understanding that G. Fosse has its annual barbecue on the 27th of this month. Does that mean that they do not have liquor license?
They don't, but I've worked, Sheriff Antonello and I have worked with the president of the G. Fosse. So they're going through alternative functions, and the barbecue's good. That was never in attendance procedural.
Where there's a will, there's a way to liquor. Okay. Public comment.
My name is John Miller. I'm from the River District Neighborhood Watch. I'm the coordinator, and we do a couple other functions in the area. But I want to commend commissioners, Mike Nevin, and Jason. Our park is looking great. This Saturday, we actually had some people come up to it a week or two earlier, saw the park, and decided to have their family reunion there at that park. So on behalf of the people in Lockwood, Rainbow Bend, and the River District Community Watch, I'd like to thank you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Marilyn Miller, River District. I want to thank you for closing the shades. We can now see you from out there. Prior to that, we can't barely even focus on you. The second thing I need to say is down there at the community center, we now have new upgraded computer equipment, moved to a brand new computer desk that I acquired, and it looks fabulous. It's up and running. It's great, and I wanted to also acknowledge Sean from Community Chest. We are meeting tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 to look at his library proposals up there and how they're going to get to our building and through what equipment and whatever. So that's going forward also. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Mary Lee. Mm-hmm. Nicole?
Nicole Bart, Story County resident. In the April 2nd meeting, I came up here and asked a question. I asked, how is it that Jeep Posse continues to get funding from the county when I couldn't find evidence of direct services to the community? Additionally, there are no women, have never been any women, on as a member of the Jeep Posse, and I thought that was somewhat discriminatory. Since then, I've done a little bit of digging. It was also brought up during that meeting that they hand out scholarships, which is, I think, a wonderful thing. In a little bit of digging that I've done, I've found the following. Up until very, very recently, Jeep Posse was in default with the state of Nevada. IRS has no record of Jeep Posse being an exempt organization, so to the extent that Jeep Posse recently became reinstated with Nevada, I don't know that during the time that we had been giving them funding, they were a bona fide nonprofit, first of all. The second thing is I searched for an audit, because typically you're a nonprofit, in particular because it had been a part of the county, although it is no longer a part of the county, you have to have financial records and audits. I finally found one in a conversation I had with Sheriff Antonero. In looking at the audit, which was done last year in October or August timeframe, the auditors didn't have access to records for their sources of income, so that is still a black hole, if you will. But in looking at the disbursements, there were several irregularities found with that. They're not accurate. Whoever's doing the books rounds up. Not only that, there are not always receipts for disbursements, so they can't reconcile to bank accounts. Now, If this were a casino, it would be called skimming. I'm not accusing them of that. I'm simply saying the financial tightness of this organization based on that audit isn't fair. Additionally, in looking at the disbursements, which the auditors say aren't complete, it's just basically what they were able to find. What I find in looking at the scholarships that were awarded is most of them are awarded to family and children of posse members. So if you have an organization that is, for the most part, very closed in terms of who they allow in, and the county is giving money to that organization in order to provide direct services, which I cannot find any direct services to the county. And the main thing that they offer are scholarships, and those scholarships are given right back to the members of that organization. I find that troubling. I'm back here asking you to reconsider or at least look at the money that you're giving to the Jeep Posse. I would rather see the money go to the community chest or to the senior center because I can see what the direct services are coming from those organizations. I don't see that coming from the Jeep Posse. The barbecue in 2010 and 2011 yielded about $10,000 to $12,000 in terms of money they brought in. It cost $9,000 to $10,000 to put on. And so what they actually net is negligible. It's a big party. I like that. I've been there. So I'm asking that you relook at it. And if you decide to continue to give money to the Jeep Posse, then I ask that you make it restricted. I'll help you write it. What restricted funds means is that you give it to them with a proviso that it only goes to direct services. It does not go to members of the Jeep Posse reimbursing them for food. It does not go to family members of the Jeep Posse. It does not go for overhead. It does not go for utilities. It only is restricted to the delivery of services to the community. To me, I worked on a board of a nonprofit. I gave my time. The time that I gave was professional time. I did a lot of work for that organization. I did not charge them. I will give you a copy of the audit. You will see in the audit that an officer of the Jeep Posse was reimbursed for fees for doing work for the Jeep Posse. I have never gotten a penny out of any work I've ever done as a volunteer or a board member for a nonprofit organization.
Okay. Thanks, Nicole. Hands up, anyone? Dale, come on up.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to bring to your attention that he hasn't been running any time. So if you have to hang on to her, we don't
You broke it, Dale. You broke it. When you came up, I couldn't get it started. I would have started it.
Most of my comments are going to be on Mark Twain Estates. The district attorney done something, and we got the chain and the lock off of the park, so wheelchairs can go in. Now, if we can get somebody to come down and chop the weeds on the basketball court, every crack has got about that high of weeds up across X. We could use some help there. And then in the campaign of 2012, there was some discussion about cutting taxes for homeowners. After the election, I haven't heard a word about it. Taxes stayed the same or went up. And most of my remarks from this point on will be to Commissioner Matt Gilman. We have 75 kids ride the bus, approximately. 75 kids ride the bus from my neighborhood up to the hill. And 29 or 28 of those kids don't live in our county. But when Lance passes out food down there, he only passes out to one with a Story County address. So about a third of the kids that we've got coming to school up here are being discriminated against in the fact that they don't have an address, they can't get anything. I could walk over and get free food and give it to somebody, but I don't. And I just think it's wrong. We're a community. The community chest down there treats everybody the same. Those kids, little kids come up there and play, don't matter where they're from, they could come from Arkansas and they'd take them. And I think the community chest handles my money better than anybody in the county. I really like the way they do business. They've got people that can do the job, they've got people that can do the job economically. Seems like everything anybody gets the county, all we want is more pay and less work. And if, one of my things over and over, if there wasn't no people, there wouldn't be no county government. So you people should have a little more respect for us folks out in the street. You could do that by letting us vote next November in 2014 on five commissioners. Just put it on the ballot and let us, that is advisory, let us say yes or no. You could do that for us and show a little compassion. And the chairman should get over saying, we got rid of Dale Beach and we have 15 minutes, sometimes a half hour of public comments. That doesn't set well with the folks out there, and he's going to eat that, eat those words in the election next March or April or May or whenever, because I'll be out there and telling the people, this is what his attitude is. And, you know, just because people don't like what I got to say, don't say it, don't mean I can't say it. And I like to be polite, quiet. I'm talking louder because people said they can't hear me out in the audience. I think some of the best money we could spend is give her whatever it takes to get these speakers upgraded to where people can come in here and hear. I sit back there in the back, and some of them I can hear, some of them I can't. The ones when they come up here and doctored it up and put that up, I could hear really good. And I, you know, I got high dollar hearing aids too, but, you know, I can't hear, I can't hear. And it don't make me happy to be up here. And the DA, I like him. He's got a personality, and I just wear well with him. And I'd like to see more of him. Whether he does his job or not, I don't know. But I can interface with him. Uh-oh. I got to go. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Dale. Kim?
Now it works. Now that you've left, it works, Dale. Now that you've left, it works.
I'm flattered, sir.
Kim Fager, Cold Hill Historical Society. I'd like to start out by thanking some of the people who are on the county staff for helping us out with the project that we previously had. The fire department, the building department, and the public utilities people all been really helpful to us. And I wanted to make sure that everybody understood that whatever else goes on, we appreciate what they've done. Because of recent events, the Gold Hill Historical Society has been put under very serious financial stress. We're enduring losses of tens of thousands of dollars in personal loans and stuff that we've made to the organization to keep it afloat, and moving expenses and things like that. So we don't expect to be able to make any sort of proposal for a renewal of our occupation of the property. I think the best thing I can do there is wish everybody the best with that. We hate to see 25 years of our time get wasted on somebody that wouldn't appreciate it. We're perfectly willing to maybe assist anybody who takes it over that's, you know, interested in some of the stuff that we've done. But the main thing we have to do is protect the assets that we have remaining. I'm entertained that some other people who have come to this meeting had a little bit more than 3 minutes to plead their case, and I'll be entertained to see how that goes in the future. Other than that, I think any other comments that I would have, I better refrain from under advice from my counsel. Thank you, Judge, very much.
Anyone else?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Again, Mark Joseph Phillips, a resident of Virginia City. On the 16th of July, 2013, agenda item number 12 was the first reading of ordinance. Number 13 would be second readings.
I guess this is item number 14, public comment. Commissioners, let's talk about the future. And let's talk about the future of public comment and being optimistic, friendly, talking to the commissioners, maybe bringing up something that maybe was overlooked or something that maybe we could look at in the future. And I got 3 minutes. If I'm courteous, not insulting anybody, I should be given my 3 minutes. And statute doesn't require any one of the commissioners to respond to anything I say, and certainly no action can be taken on anything I say in public comment. But what I'd like the commissioners to think about in the future is, after my public comment, when I sit down, could you please ask your county manager not to interfere with my public comment, interrupt me, or say something after I sit down that might demand a rebuttal. I'd rather just say what I have to say and not get any response from the county manager. I'm talking to the board. After public comment is board comment, and then adjournment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Anyone else? Going once, going twice. Over to commissioner's comments.
Satisfied.
You're satisfied, Marshall?
Yeah, I'd like to talk a little bit about our road trip this last Friday. A couple of us took a trip down to Tonopah, Nevada to see Solar Reserve's new project that's going on down there, as Dean alluded to, that we're storing about 70 million pounds of Israeli salt in the TRI that's going to be used in this new solar plant they're building in Tonopah. It's taxpayer-funded, of course, around the tune of $737 million. Employing a workforce of 700 to do the construction. Only 45 jobs will be created once it's up and operational, but it encompasses 1,600 acres, 10,000 reflective mirrors that generate power by using this molten salt process they're using. So they're not storing electricity in batteries or anything like that. It's continuous energy being created from this this heated salt process that they use. So in any event, in our conversation with these folks, one of the gentlemen thought that the payoff would be in about 12 years, which is a lot less than any other projects I've read about. Usually it's about a 20-year payback, and by the end of 20 years, usually the equipment is worn out and has to be replaced, so you have pretty much a zero-sum gain with those systems. But if this works out, and I hope it does, the TRIC has about 102,000 acres out there, using another 1,600 to put in a facility like this could be something in the future for Story County and create some more jobs and utilize some more of the industrial center. That's all I have on that. I'd just like to give my thanks to John and Mary Lee Miller. This shows true citizenship, taking a heads up in their own community, and if we had more residents like you in Story County, it'd be a much better place to live. So thank you.
Yep, thank you very much. Let's get out of here.